Welcome to CII Podcasts.
I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone to this CII podcast around AI at the helm of understanding marketing's next frontier. And today with me, I have Nitin Saini, who's been with Mondelez for the last 20 years. He's been leading some of the most iconic brands like Odeo over his career spanning multiple countries. And prior to being the VP of marketing for India business, he was heading this brand from a global perspective based out of US, and where, among many other things, one of the key achievements was winning the coveted Decade of the Brand Award at Cannes in 2022. So Nitin, once again, a very warm welcome to today's episode and podcast around AI in the marketing.
Thank you so much, Digvijay. Thank you.
I'm Digvijay, your host for today's podcast. I'm a partner with EY Parthenon, and it's my honor and privilege to be here to host and have our conversations today around how AI in particular is shaping how the marketing is done, how it's been impacting the way consumers are experiencing it, and how brands today are learning from it and taking it forward. So, you know, just to get started, Nitin, one of the things which I was thinking about is that AI is not really anything new when it comes to marketing, right? So one of the earlier examples of this would be, for example, the Google search, which has been using fairly sophisticated algorithms over the period of time, or for that matter, the whole social media and the feeds around it, which is again, you know, mimicking what users' interest is and showing up, you know, the right and the most relevant content. So in your opinion, what are the earliest examples that really caught your attention in terms of how brands should look at using AI in the way they communicated and, you know, conducted marketing as a function?
You're absolutely right, Digvijay. I think AI is not new. It has been around for quite some time, and you gave a very good example about Google search, which definitely uses artificial intelligence, machine learning in giving out, all the different results whenever we want to search something. Another example that comes to my mind is also actually Google Maps, which also uses artificial intelligence. And even when we look at the world of media, advertising, marketing, I think brands have been using AI in one way or the other. Some of the examples that come to my mind are, for example, chatbots. You know, chatbots have been used for quite a long time. Another example is recommendations or personalized feeds, whether it is on Instagram or Facebook or Google, or even, you know, if let's say one would go to a Make My Trip and any of those search engines, you would be served personalized feeds. And that was all basis a certain, you know, algorithm, basis your history on what you have searched before. And what is at the heart of that is AI in the end. So I think what has happened is that a couple of things, definitely with digital becoming bigger and bigger, the whole conversations around AI have become more pronounced, because when it comes to marketing, and because digital, people are spending so much time on digital now, it is possible to do a lot more around personalization, which then uses AI and, you know, in one way or the other. Definitely the generative AI, which, you know, that whole thing that kicked off in November, a few months back, that gave it another big push to the conversations around AI. And even when I look at what Mondelez has done, like we've been using AI in one way or the other, where we have really used AI in a big way is also personalization, to serve people delightful personalized consumer experiences.
Great. So that's fairly well put. And, you know, if I reflect also on how digital marketing has evolved, I think the whole media buying experience, moving towards programmatic media buying, which is also enabled through several of these technologies. And obviously now, you know, we are talking about moving it towards television as well. Great points there, Nitin. But one of the key questions around such use of analytics is also how you measure the impact of it. And when you are, for example, from a very traditional standpoint, there are some brand objectives or business objectives, which are, for example, creating awareness, driving consideration, conversions, so on and so forth. Is it feasible to track all of those metrics in a meaningful manner, or do some of those change, or you know, there is an equivalence in terms of objectives or KPIs that you measure when you're looking at marketing and leveraging some of these analytics enabled solutions?
Actually, you know, if you look at brand objective, it would be, let's say, something around, oh, you want to drive penetration for a brand, or you want to drive frequency of consumption. So when you start from there, then you look at, you know, all the different tactics on how do you do that. And I think AI becomes a great tool to be able to deliver some of your brand objectives. And hence, anything that you use AI for, in the end, should be able to, you know, be tied up to, okay, what will help drive penetration. So, for example, if it is building awareness, if you're introducing a new brand and you want to build awareness for a new brand, or, you know, a brand has existed for a long time, but it's not been able to build relevance with consumers. So it could be any of those, you know, drivers to finally deliver a certain brand objective. And the way I see it is that AI is actually a way to do it. And hence, you know, the KPIs or the brand objective should not change. I think what AI has done is it provides new ways to actually to be able to do it. So, for example, the one that you were talking earlier about media buying and, you know, how do you, where do you place your ads, has become far more automated today, you know. And in some way, AI is about how do you use machine learning, how do you use historical data to do a better job of some of these things, you know, which helps drive better efficiency, better productivity, and in some cases even able to forecast better. So, you know, using AI now, people are able to do a, you know, a much faster and a better job of where should your ads be placed in the digital ecosystem, which if you were to try and do it manually, it will take so much time and it will not even be efficient, right? But kind of back to your question around brand objective, I don't think that really changes.
Fair. And I think that's also good food for thought, because what often happens in a digital era is there is a plethora of KPIs, and often we might lose the real objectives in, you know, some of those KPIs and sort of, you know, forget the woods for the trees, if I may say so. You touched upon the topic of generative AI, and, you know, absolutely, probably the kind of excitement, conversation which has been happening around AI is unprecedented over the last 12 months or so since the whole, the advent of generative AI. And when you think of consumer goods in particular, and, you know, broadly, when you think of marketing, the three areas which comes, which has been impacted most by generative AI. One is obviously around the whole consumer experience and personalization. How can we, you know, provide better experiences around it in a far more personalized manner, like you spoke of. The second area is around content creation, right? And the creativity in general. And how can I be more original, authentic, yet leveraging AI to be so. And finally, around the service experience side of it. And, you know, over the course of a few minutes, next few minutes, maybe it'll be great to hear your views around, you know, how do you see some of these areas getting disrupted, enhanced, you know, made into something new and better for the consumer. So maybe just to start off on the consumer experience and personalization standpoint, we would love to hear your thoughts about it.
Yeah, no, I think I would say actually that has been one of the real big benefits of AI and Gen AI on how can you provide people with more personalized experiences. And we spoke earlier about, you know, personalized feed. So, you know, you are served content that is personalized to you. And that is what a lot of the search engines do. That's what a lot of, you know, the Google and the Metas of the world are doing. We have also used in our own, you know, very interesting way, which is, how do you serve people personalized experiences that are tied to, you know, a campaign idea or our brand purpose? And I can give you a few examples of what Mondelez has done on some of our brands. So, you know, for instance, we actually, if we go back 3-4 years, we had this campaign called Not Just a Cadbury Ad. And it was during COVID, you know, people, retailers were, you know, having a tough time. The idea that we came up with was, you know, that why can't we help retailers have their own personalized ads with Shah Rukh Khan as the ambassador in the ad, you know, and then we use machine learning to create those, you know, many small ads for the retailers around the time of Diwali. And, you know, the whole purpose of celebrations is generosity and how everyone has a great Diwali. So very much kind of tied to our purpose, but using artificial intelligence, machine learning to create those personalized ads. Then last year, we had this campaign around, you know, celebrations again, which was around birthday. And really the insight there was that, oh, there are 6 billion people on the planet, but there's only one birthday song. So if I have to sing a birthday song for you, you know, everybody sings the same happy birthday to you. And why can't you kind of create a personalized birthday song? And we used Gen AI to be able to actually, you know, enable the consumer to create a personalized birthday song and gift it to their loved one, you know, obviously along with the box of Cadbury celebration. So it takes a few inputs and then it creates a song for you. And that is possible only through Gen AI, because Gen AI has this ability to create new things. So again, you know, the objective there was to build relevance for celebrations in the occasion of birthday gifting. So you start from there. That is your brand objective. And then the idea was a personalized birthday song. And then the execution, AI played a big role, right? So back to what we were discussing earlier around, do the brand objective change? Not really. I think the brand objective, the human insight, the creative idea, they always come first. And then the technology and the AI kind of come later and sits on top to create the delightful personal experience. And the last couple of examples we'll give you are from this year. We used AI again in the Valentine's Day earlier this year, where somebody can create a personalized Valentine's Day video. You know, it kind of shared memories of you and your Valentine. And when you give this to, you know, your loved one on the Valentine, you can imagine the sort of delight the other person will experience. And even as recently as August, we did a campaign where people could share a personalized memory with their sister on the occasion of Rakhi. So again, these are kind of examples where, you know, you can create personalized content. For consumers can create personalized content. Earlier, we talked about personalized feed, I think, which is also a very, very important way in which people are using AI.
Those are great examples. And, you know, if I were to think back of, you know, marketeers, probably a decade back, they could only imagine being part of so many different moments that matter from a consumer standpoint. And now you can, or with the use of generative AI, be part of those moments that matter. Talking about content, you know, one of the other things which often brands have always wanted to be that, you know, is also to stand for good content around the topics, right? Which may be slightly beyond, you know, creating content for experience, but also, like, for example, research, for example, trying to find out recipes in your context, possibly in some other brand's context, it could be finding out more around therapy, knowing more about the product in general. And where often brands have struggled is that, you know, how do you keep on generating so much content? Because, you know, specific search, consumers, what they're looking for evolves with time. And, you know, then it requires a whole different degree of machinery to keep churning out content which is relevant, editorial content, which can then speak to consumers' specific requirement and ask. And where do you see this part getting augmented or changed with the help of generative AI?
I think generative AI can play a big role there. Exactly to your point around, sometimes you need, you know, content at a very large scale. So whether it is recipes or whether, you know, you now have so much of digital commerce activity going on. So you really need content at scale. And can it be done through AI as opposed to, you know, a human intervention every time? And I think those are some of the places which also maybe do not require as much of a creativity, you know, as opposed to just aesthetic value, aesthetic appeal, efficiency, scale is important. And I think that is where a lot of kind of work is happening today to say, how do we get there in a very organized way? We are also, you know, looking at it as well. But I think that can definitely be, you know, a big place. For people to go to as they look at how do you use AI. Even let's say, you know, things like when you are looking at innovation or creating scratch concepts, then instead of putting a lot of manual effort, you know, using AI can actually get you to a great output. Like if you use any of those Gen AI tools and you put in a vision of what you want to create, You know, and you see the visuals that get created. I'm sure you have done it. They're not bad at all. Like nothing and can build on top of it. So they are really, really good, and some of the output is really, really good. So I think there is still work that's needed here to clarify on exactly where should we use. I think it also requires a lot of effort, because it'll require us to train the you know, the tool on all the learning that one has on from the past, because that makes the output that much better and that much richer. I think the final thing I'll say, Digvijay, on this is that, you know, in the end, it's not, you know, either or. So you have artificial intelligence generated output, but in the end, there is always going to be a space for human creativity. Like some of the campaigns we do, you know, AI is like a icing on the cake, right? Like it's a cherry on the top. So there is a creative idea, is a strong human insight, and then AI kind of adds that tadka, if you like. So I don't think the human creativity is going anywhere, but there is a lot of output that can be generated using AI.
No, I completely agree, because end of the day, I mean, it is about actually augmenting creativity. For example, if someone like me who's really bad at drawing, but you know, can have a concept in head, how do I bring to life? Like you said very rightly, you know, use a tool and, you know, it generates something which is probably better than me describing it in words. Fair. And that in no manner takes away the authenticity or the creativity around it, which comes from the source itself. But do you also feel that, you know, this requires some degree of supervision, particularly when there is a content going out from a brand standpoint? You know, there's a degree of, you know, care that is applied. There is a certain threshold of what it can speak of or not speak of, you know, regulatory guardrails to be followed and such. Do you feel that that's something which becomes now even more important now than ever?
It does. It does. And I think it requires, you know, a lot of work actually in that area. So whenever we create those Gen AI tools for people to create personalized content, we also have to make sure it is a safe space. None of the copyright are violated. So there's a lot of, you know, work that's needed to be done, but it's all worth it, right? In the end, when we see the output. So one has to also be cognizant of some of the things that you just said.
I think the third part, which I feel that generative AI is really impacting, is the service side. And where it might be slightly away from your core brands, maybe because, you know, e-commerce, for example, I know there is gifting site that Mondelez has, and that's again a very exciting value proposition. But, you know, at the larger, broader landscape, do you feel that commerce now is getting impacted with the whole generative AI? I mean, me speaking as a consumer, I mean, I find it very exciting if there is a single point or a chatbot where I can just go and tell whatever I want from a brand. And it will be great if it's on WhatsApp, for example, where I can, right from shopping to any customer complaints, I can just put it there and, you know, I can, it's almost like speaking to someone, you know, speaking to the brand or that platform. That'll be something really exciting and, you know, really unlocks the consumer service side.
No, absolutely. Look, I think like even as you look at digital commerce, you know, you can see that AI, what AI does is it, you know, it kind of gives you personalized recommendation on what you could buy basis your own kind of history or what you have bought before and what could you likely to be buying in the future. So I think it just makes the shopping experience that much easier, right, and richer. And we have seen the advent of quick commerce, you know, which has given kind of a fresh impetus to digital commerce. So I would say digital commerce, it can play a big role. Even brands that have a significant business coming from direct to consumer will also benefit a lot from, you know, AI and how can they use AI to serve personalized recommendations on how can they make the whole, to your point, even the experience that much better, because it's not just the act of buying, but right, what happens after that, right? Like in terms of after service and so on. I think it can totally revolutionize the shopping experience. And even the way the chatbots now can become that much more intelligent, to your point, if you have any query, if you have any complaint, you know, to be able to handle it with the sort of a human-like touch, now, you know, I think AI is getting closer and closer to that. Like compared to how the chatbots were 5 years back, you can see now they're far more intelligent, and that's happened because of AI. And you now feel okay. I mean, earlier you have a chatbot, you would say, oh, you don't want to talk to a chatbot at all. You just want to talk to somebody human. But now that's changing a bit. So you're absolutely right. The whole service and the commerce industry will also see a lot of change.
And, you know, before we move to the second part of the segment, but, you know, one of the thoughts which I have, and I'll leave it with you, is that, you know, as marketers, one always creates this brand persona, right? You know, as if that was a real person, and what, how would the tonality be, and how would that person be as a character, and so on and so forth. Will it not be great to actually create that persona and make it available for consumers to actually engage with, and, you know, like on a chatbot possibly, where you can actually go and speak and have all of these great features which you spoke of being made available through that brand that they love so much? You know, just a thought, and leave that with you.
No, absolutely. That's a wonderful thought.
So, I mean, with all of these, so many exciting changes on the consumer side, on the, you know, the capability side, the natural question is that how do you look at your internal capability, their readiness, you know, how is that landscape changing? You know, things like consumer insight generation, planning, media planning, measurement, all of those things. How do you see AI opening doors, unlocking some key areas, say on consumer insight side of it? Like, how do you see AI changing some of that?
No, I think AI can again play an important role there. I think two or three places. One is, how do we listen better, right? How do we do our social listening better? AI can actually synthesize all the information in one place quite rapidly. And then you are able to get a pulse of the consumer quite rapidly, as opposed to doing, you know, only relying on on-field research and meeting consumers. So that's the one thing I'll say. I think the other place where AI can really help is every company, every enterprise, and you know this very well, like, has a lot of data sitting in different places. And sometimes there is a big unlock just to bring all that data in one place and to be able to cull out insights from it on what is it that can drive the business forward. And sometimes it's not the lack of data, but it's a, you know, the lack of converting that data into, you know, clear insights that can help the business move forward. So AI can also be a great enabler of it. You know, if you can just be able to synthesize information at a great pace and get insights out of it, that can serve as a competitive advantage as well. So those are a couple of things that come to my mind.
I absolutely could not agree more, because in our conversations with various clients, and as we've sort of also made progress in the whole generative AI and taking it to different clients, one of the things which is a recurring conversation is how we enable the teams internally. And, you know, generative AI can actually sort of completely remove that that era of looking at dashboards, because now you have all the data and an intelligent bot at your disposal where you can type in your question, and that analysis is thrown at you instead of going through several dashboards or creating n number of dashboards which nobody ends up using. I completely agree. I mean, the way organizations look at their own data is in itself sort of changing. Maybe a slight build up on this is, particularly within that, how do you look at first party data? Because, and I'm sure Mondelez is one of the front runners in terms of, you know, how you look at this, how you harness it. What's been your experience around AI enabling some of this and making use of first party data in your communication, ad creation, so on and so forth?
Yeah, so I think we have a quite a strong first party data program, actually, which we've been running for, you know, 3-4 years now. And I think, of course, it allows us to know our consumers better, reach our consumers better, and we've got to a good scale as well when it comes to first party data. And then, of course, there's a lot one can do with first party data. It's, you know, our ability to reach consumers when we want to, deliver them personalized experiences, even to sort of, you know, some do listening with them, you know, getting insights from them. And AI can be an enabler there again, because you have such a, you know, a big database. How do we organize them? How do we reach out to them in an efficient way? Or when we hear them, then how do we do it in an organized way? So I think AI and first party data actually go hand in hand. And having first party data allows us to use the AI systems, but equally, you know, the having an AI system allows us to leverage our FPD program better. So I think both are quite well intertwined.
And, you know, in first party data, like one of the key things which often comes across is how do you leverage this data in not just in terms of creating segments that you want to share your communication with, but what are those broad areas where you see maximum value? So if you were to call out maybe two areas where you see that FPD is really impacting the marketing metrics, what will those two areas be?
I think the first one is actually what you alluded to, which is to create segments that then you can deploy your media with, you know, your advertising dollars with, because you do see better ROI when you do that, because they are more engaged audiences, right? So you are able to then monetize that better. I think, and then I would say the other big one would be insights, because, you know, you have the data with you. So if, let's say, tomorrow you introduce a new product in the market, you don't have to wait for 1 month to know what is the performance. You can overnight run a survey with them and start to get responses to say whether somebody is liking it or not. And then you are able to, you know, either make any adjustments if you need to, or even sort of adjust your demand and forecasting that way. So that's another, I think, example that I would say, which is, you know, to use that first-party database for insights generation. Sometimes you can even use those insights for innovation.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that's a great point, Nitin. You know, I was just also thinking that, you know, when I look back in my own marketing days, which were probably about brand management days, which were about a decade back or so, they look very different from what marketing is today, right? And if we were to have this conversation a few years down the line, I'm sure marketing and the skills needed from a marketing perspective would look entirely different altogether. So, you know, when you reflect back, what do you feel are those key skills or areas which has become more critical now than before? And probably some 2-3 areas which are now for every marketer to focus on as they sort of try and keep themselves future ready.
That's a great question, Digvijay. And, you know, I've also reflected often about it. I think before I talk about what is new, I think there are things that have remained the same, which are important for somebody to be a great marketeer. So things like consumer centricity, you know, clarity of thinking, ability to tell a story, you know, ability to think both left brain and right brain, because you need both structure as well as creativity. I think those still remain very important for somebody to become a good marketeer. I think a couple of things that have obviously been become more important now. I think, of course, the whole digital and data, and I think a lot of it is just to just immerse oneself in this world and know it as if like you are a native user of that world. So knowing Instagram well, knowing some of these you know, technologies well, knowing how the CDP works and knowing how data systems work. I think the whole digital and data and knowing it well, I think is become quite important. And, you know, also ability to think both ends of the funnel. So what is, of course, important is to build equity for your brand, build awareness for your brand. And that is what typically you would say top of the funnel, brand building. But equally with the advent of quick commerce and digital commerce and D2C, it's also important to understand what you call performance marketing, right? Which is kind of full funnel conversion. And I don't think, again, it's not an either or. You have to understand and learn both and know both are important. And what therefore is needed even more today is the ability to adapt oneself and be agile. I think that's a really important quality that I think is needed in a marketer today, more so than, let's say, how it was 10 years back.
And, you know, reflecting on some of the way you articulated it, which is very precise and, you know, sort of paints the picture, I think there's a lot of the world of brand marketeer is increasingly overlapping with the world of digital product marketeer, if I may say. You know, the way both disciplines have sort of evolved, because I think there is a room for each of the disciplines to learn from the other. And one of the things which goes hand in hand with such ways of working, agile, like you said, which is about doing a lot of experiments, not looking at your consumer segments as a monolith and thinking of them as micro segments, their need states, how you can address those in different manners, which means that there has to be room for a lot of experiments. And, the fact of the matter is that there is always paucity of funds. There is always a crunch or a very strict sort of discipline around, expense management and things like that. How do you create, and what's been your mantra around, how do you create space for those experiments?
I think it's again a very good question, Digvijay, and I think you're absolutely right. With all these new things, there is always some ambiguity in the beginning. I think a couple of things that have helped us, I would say, are the first one I'll say is the culture of test and learn. So you try out a lot of things and you know that some will not do well, but then you learn out of it and then make it better. So you start slow, have a test and learn culture, be bold about those test and learns and learn from them. So I think we have been doing it now for some time, and that's one thing that definitely helps. The second is, I think the leadership steer is very important in some of these areas, because as I said, there is ambiguity, because sometimes you need to invest upfront, so you need to be able to provide that steer as a leadership team and motivate the team is the other thing that's proven to be quite useful. But I would say the test and learn is quite important.
Oh, absolutely. And I think without the leadership steer, even the test and learn as a culture, it doesn't get created. But, just to build on it, like, do you have a typical framework around what's your timeline by which an experiment needs to show result? I mean, if in case you follow certain principles around that, it needs to show results in a certain time frame, or what's your thought around that?
I think it would depend upon initiative to initiative. Some of those you will put in like an year one sort of milestones on whether you are reaching that 1 year milestone or not. But I think in the end, it is knowing that, it's also the ability to think future back and say, okay, this is where you want to be 3 years, 5 years from now. I think that is where it all starts from. To say this is your long-term vision, this is where you want to go. And then you do those tests and learns and have those, the right milestones at the right time and see if it is going in the right direction. Do you need to course correct? So I think that is what we try and do. I think certainly has helped us when it comes to building digital competence in the marketing function. Some of the examples I gave you around using AI, those were in some way, you can say, experiments that proved to be a success. And once you get success with one of those initiatives, it also builds its own momentum, as you know, right? So,
that's very well said. And that's a fairly honest way of putting it across that, success and within experiment, success breeds more such experiments. Absolutely. And you have to create room for that. And, it's great to hear that come from you as well. I think we are almost at the end of our discussion today. So first of all, thank you so much, Nitin, for making time. Your inputs have been absolutely valuable. Over the last few minutes, we've discussed everything around how AI has now revolutionized the way marketing and the consumer experience comes across. We've also had some great insights on how brands are building those capabilities internally, how their view of the consumers are evolving. And obviously, how do you then create that culture of learning and experimentation and build further upon it? So thank you once again for your valuable insights and the time that you took out today.
No, thank you. Thank you as well, Digvijay. I really enjoyed the conversation with you. So thank you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to CII Podcast.